Good morning and welcome to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Stand by for some very exciting new news that will benefit postal employees.
Go tell your friends about it. Go tell your friends about it. Go tell them what you know, what you've seen, how I roll, how I get along. Go tell your friends about it. Go tell your friends about it.
I'm it with the hair singing, bow popping, with a light so true. Last year.
Yes, I want you to tell everyone about the information that I'm about to share with you. Let's start with the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. On September 18th, there was an agreement made to extend the COVID-19 memorandums that were already in place. Some of the MOUs that are going to be extended will be the MOU on sick leave for dependent care during COVID-19. There's a temporary additional leave for MHAs. This extension provides the mail handler assistant the opportunity to utilize the 80 hours of paid leave provided in the original MOU. It does not provide an additional 80 hours. The MOU for temporary exception period for COVID-19 leave and the liberal change of schedule and leave letter dated March 23rd. So all those MOUs were agreed upon September 18th to be extended through December 31st. In fact, it reads, the following memorandums of understanding between the United States Postal Service and the National Postal Mail Handlers Union have been extended through December 31st, 2020. The parties agreed to meet and discuss these memorandums of understanding prior to December 31st to determine whether or not further extension is appropriate. Again, we're talking about expanded sick leave for dependent care, exception period for COVID-19, and additional paid leave for MHAs. Now, this was signed by Doug Tolino and our national president, Paul Harogian. So be advised that those memos, are extended until December 31st. So adjust yourself accordingly. Now, I want to switch over and speak about a craft, the APWU. And let me say, they seem to be aggressively addressing this issue, the whole COVID issue at headquarters. I want to give a personal thanks. And let me remind my audience, I'm not an APWU member, but I do a lot of redress and EEO type activity for the APWU members in Columbus, Ohio. But I want to give a shout out to Michael Funk, Michael Smith, Vance Zimmerman, and Ricky Dean. Yo, these gentlemen are at the APWU national level, and as we say in New Jersey, they are putting in work. Now, with respect to contact tracing and admin leave, I gotta tell you, it appears that the APWU on the national level met with headquarters, and they addressed the issue that if you were quarantined previously, and now the post office needs you to quarantine again, how are you paid? Well, listen, they addressed that, and what they said was, if you have exhausted your Family First Corona Relief Act emergency leave, then you should be placed on administrative leave. Did you understand what I'm saying? If for some reason you were quarantined previously and now you have been in contact with a confirmed case and you have to quarantine again, the post office will put you on administrative leave to the best of my understanding and the best of my knowledge. And that is something that the gentleman I spoke of earlier, Michael Funk, Michael Smith, Vance Zimmerman, and Ricky Dean, that's something that they have negotiated and reduced to writing for their APWU members. And I don't know, I think that's awesome. Now, for those of you that are not real familiar with what administrative leave is, well, that's a leave that does not come out of your annual or your sick leave. That's paid leave by the Postal Service. That's what administrative leave is. You see, that's the kind of instruction or direction coming from a head of a union that makes you feel essential. In other words, I look at this understanding that if you have used your 80 hours of leave, emergency leave, and it is necessary for you to be re-quarantined, that the post office pays you administrative leave. And again, I look at that as a message to postal employees, in this case, the APWU, that you are essential. You are so essential that we're going to go above and beyond to protect you, to make sure you're okay, because we need you doing that essential job that you do. Outstanding job, APWU. Now, I would be remiss in my duties as a podcaster if I didn't tell you that based on this understanding, the post office at the local level is going to be very reluctant to allow you to go on administrative leave. So what I'm going to ask that all the listeners do, particularly the APWU members, get with your union stewards, your presidents, and get clarification on this, because one of the sentences that I read is, if the post office directs you to quarantine. Now, what's to say that quarantining is necessary, but the post office is not going to direct you to do that? So there are a lot of nuances here, but the important element that I really want to impart on all the listeners is this understanding is going to allow additional employees to be absent from work. So the post office is not going to just allow this to happen at the local level. But I want to say to you, if your national board, your national leadership is negotiating and providing you with this type of instruction and you don't follow it, shame on you. Far too many times I see the unions at the national level negotiate understandings and members allow it to fall at the wayside. Don't let this be one of them. Now, coming out of the APWU national headquarters, for your reference information, and as a reminder, attached is the contact tracing program for COVID-19. The headquarters COVID group has confirmed the attached is current and has not been updated or changed. Several questions have come up in some areas / districts regarding whether or not an employee is entitled, if they must quarantine and they have already used the FFCRA's emergency placement sick leave. I'm going to read to you what should happen to initiate a close contact investigation. Now, notice, before I even read this, pay attention to the seventh bullet, because this is the crux of this writing. Okay, to initiate a close contact investigation, review form submitted by local manager. Interview employees to gather information regarding his or her movements within the facility and potential direct contact with coworkers. Assess movement and contact to determine risk level of others. Identify employees who should exercise self-quarantine. Notify local manager of employee being recommended to self-quarantine. Employees should then be placed on emergency paid sick leave according to the Family First Corona Response Act guidance. If, this is bullet seven, if emergency paid sick leave has been exhausted, the employee will be placed on administrative leave. ONHA and Ohio Health will contact public health departments. Public health department will contact close contact investigation for public health department will conduct close contact investigation for non-postal close contact. The headquarter COVID group has confirmed this position and this language. And this comes directly from the manager of contract administration out of headquarters, Ricky R. Dean. Now, I'm pretty sure one of the ways the post office gets around doing close contact investigations is they take the position, and I'm pretty sure of this, they take the position that from the time you notified the post office that you were positive for COVID, from that time you were not in contact with fellow employees, so therefore I believe they have been skirting around close contact investigations based on that premise, because far too often in Columbus, Ohio, it has happened where an employee was positive for COVID, submitted names, nobody got contacted. So, and I think we all became comfortable with nobody being contacted. Well, let me say this to you. The APWU is very much in favor and highly supports conducting of that close contact interview. So we have to be diligent should cases appear in our work facilities that we hold the post office accountable and responsible for doing the close contact investigation. I'm going to bring this morning's podcast to a close, closing out on a new process on the App Store too, for processing periodicals and standard mail. Without going into the specifics, I would like to say to Implant Support, why would you have the supervisor print MTEL placards on one sort plan only to have a different sort plan run on the machine? Would it not be simpler to duplicate your 246 RC per sort plan for the placards and call it 246 RC new? Simple change, ease of process for your supervisor. The flats, as a result of this change, the flats that were going to flat prep are still going to flat prep, but they're going to flat prep separated out so they can be ran on a different program. One thing I would like to say to postal management that manages the apps, since you're jackpotting a lot of mail into bin 179, something you might want to look at, and that is to ensure an additional person is in that area. So if 179 begins to fill rather rapidly and the mail handler has to continue to pull that from the machine, two issues. One, that male handler will not have time to take care of the rest of the bins that are probably filling up. And two, after pulling all those heavy containers repeatedly from a machine, the amount of time that machine will stay in sweep is going to affect your throughput, and I know how much that means to you. Listen, this is Kenny Hodge on the KHP. Let's have a nice day, and as always, I hope I've been informative.